Good morning, brothers and sisters.
Good morning.
We will celebrate Christmas and enjoy our fellowship with the family, right? Buying new clothes and gifts for family members, especially for children. We are happy with that, right? When we are celebrating Christmas, what Jesus has brought for us, that is the joy of salvation. When Jesus was born for us, He brought the joy of our salvation. But brothers and sisters, we should not forget to imitate His attitude, especially His humility and selflessness. We were singing in our songs, "You are not alone, you are not alone. Christ is born. Christ is born. You are not alone." Why we are not alone, brothers and sisters? Because He humbled Himself. He is selfless. So He humbled Himself. He is born. So that He can be with us. So that He can save us. Brothers and sisters, there was no humility and selflessness, then there will be no Christmas celebrations. We were singing songs and we are worshipping Christ for what He has done. Because of His humility, because of His selflessness. Brothers and sisters, this time I want to encourage you, all of you, not only to celebrate Him, who He is, but also to imitate Him, who He is. What kind of attitude He has to become a man to save us. So today we are going to look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 8. We are not going through book of Colossians. Next time we will meet. I did not forget that. Because the next passage is talking about the life and death of Christ, resurrection of Christ. So I want to focus on His birth. So that's why I have chosen this passage, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 8. This is great passage, right? Most of you memorized it. Just very great passage. Even my age is not sufficient, my experience is not sufficient to understand the greatness of Christ, who He is. But I want to understand who He is, what kind of attitude He has to save you and me, so that we can imitate Him. Please follow with me, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 8. It says, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although He existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. Being found appearance as man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." We see this passage, the main idea of this passage is imitating the selfless, humble Christ. Imitating selfless, humble Christ. Look at verse 5 to 8. It is very clear. Paul is exhorting Philippians that they should have this attitude. Verse 5 says, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus." Then he is explaining, who although He existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself, taking the form of bond servant. These all things are saying Christ is selfless. Christ is humble to save us. So we need to imitate that. If you look at the context of these verses, we need to go back chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. It says, "Do nothing for selfishness, empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others." Then he said, Then verse 5, he mentioned that have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Then he is explaining how Christ is selfless, how Christ is humble to save you and me. He says, verse 6, have this attitude. The idea is Paul was commanding Philippians that they should have this attitude continually. It is a command for action to be continued. He is not requesting, he is not giving options. Whether if you have, okay. If you don't have, okay, chalta hai. He is not saying that. You should have this attitude. This is command. At the same time, you should have this attitude continually. Because Christ has this attitude. Brothers and sisters, Christ is the greatest model of humility and selflessness. Greatest model. No one is like him. No one is like him. That is the reason why Paul commands the Philippians that they should have an attitude of humility and selflessness. So the theme of this passage is imitating the selfless, humble Christ. Here we have three attitudes of the incarnate Christ that prove he is selfless and humble. The first attitude of the incarnate Christ that proves he is selfless and humble is he did not regard his divine position. Look at verse 6. It says, which says that who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. He did not regard a state of being equal to God as something to be grasped. Regard refers here, brothers and sisters, to engage in intellectual process, thinking, considering. Brothers and sisters, Christ did not think, consider, engage in intellectual process that his equality with God as a complete man. He did not regard, he did not think about that. Some people are confused about this statement, but we will learn about what it means. But you look at the word form of God, the form. The word used in verse 7 also, form of a bond servant. This is not showing outward appearance, but inward nature. Form refers to inward nature, not outward appearance. He took nature of a bond servant. So he existed in the nature of or essence of God. He is not shadow or some form of God, but he is God. He is God. Amen. He is not looking like God. He is God by nature. That is the meaning. Even we know, right? Colossians chapter 1 verse 15 says, he is the image of invisible God. God is invisible. To understand who God is, you need to understand who Christ is. Because he has all nature of God the Father. He has that nature by himself. John Gospel was 14, 8 to 9. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, so as the Father, you are looking at me, you know who I am. If you know me, you know who Father is. He is God himself. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He is God. The many verses in the Bible prove that he is God. He is God. But our focus should be on attitude of Christ. That's what Paul is focusing on. Although he existed in the form of God, even though he is God, he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. This does not deny an affirmation of deity of Christ in this context. If anyone denies that Christ was not God, Christ was God, that man should deny he was not bond servant. Because same word used, he has form of God, at the same time he has form of bond servant. If he is bond servant, he is God. It is not denying his deity. What does it mean? It seems to suggest hierarchy. Hierarchy. Christ is not equal with God, the Father, as a man. As a man, he is not equal. He has some limitations as complete man. The Father has higher hierarchy than Christ in his incarnation. In his incarnation. He knew what was going to happen after his incarnation. Even though he knew it, but he did not regard it. That was the reason why Paul says he did not regard the hierarchy with God as a man, as a man. I am not saying as a God. He is equal with God every time, all the time. But as a man, he is not equal with God. By knowing that, he did not regard equality with God. That's why he is born. That's why you are not alone. God is with you because he did not regard equality with God as a man. That's why, you know, John Gospel chapter 14 verse 28 says, the Father is greater than I. Why did he say that? Because he became a man. That's why he said, the God the Father is greater than me. He has to say that as a man. That's why Paul is saying he did not regard equality with God. There are examples of why he is equal to God. Remember this truth, brothers and sisters. He was truly God by nature. By nature. For you and me, to save you and me, he did not regard the equality with God. What does this show? It shows he is selfless. He is selfless. Look at the phrase, a thing to be grasped. Look at those phrases, which refers a word as an act of seizing, something regarded as a gained or utilized. Jesus did not regard equality with God as a gain, as to be utilized. Heavenly Christ did not believe that he should regard his position of honor, that is his equality with God, as something to take advantage of himself. This word is used as opposite of selfishness. That means Jesus is not selfish to take advantage of himself. But we know he seeks his glory. We know he was God. He is God. But to save sinners, he did not regard equality with God as a man, to become man. He took less rank than Father in his incarnation. That is the meaning. We know that. Paul says, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9 says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty might become rich. Did you say Jesus is poor man? He is not poor man, he is rich. Everything belongs to him. He wants everything, but he became poor. Became poor. In these ways, he knows that he is going to become poor. He is going to suffer. He is going to become, to have less rank than God the Father as a man. But he did not regard. What a great Savior we have, right? What a great Savior we have. He is selfless. He is selfless. But we should learn this attitude from Jesus Christ. What are the ways that we Christians regard our positions if we come to the church? You come to the church as a company manager. You come to the church as a rich person in society. You come to the church as who you are in the society. Then you show up your position in the church. Why? Because you did not regard your position. A thing to be grasped. You are holding your positions. You are showing up your positions. If Christ, he did not regard equality with God, if we become selfless, it should motivate us to so that we can disregard all our positions. Brothers and sisters, you can't serve or be useful to the church when you regard your offices in your home, what you have in your society. You need to leave that position. You should become like servant, a man in the church, so that you can be useful. That is the lesson that we can learn from Jesus in his incarnation. The second attitude of the incarnate Christ that proves he is selfless, humble, is he veiled his divine privileges. He did not regard his divine position, and also he veiled his divine privileges. Look at verse 7, it says, which says, but emptied himself, taking a form of a bondservant, being made in likeness of man. Paul says, Christ emptied himself. Did he lose his divine nature? Paul is saying, no, he emptied. Everything is gone. What does it mean? The answer is no. He did not lose his divine nature. He has form of God. He is equal to God. The meaning of the verb emptied is to make empty, literal meaning. Empty of position, prestige, privilege. Here idea is he veiled his deity and divine privileges and glory. He veiled. He did not show up. He has, but he did not show up. He did not use all his abilities, all his attributes. Okay, let me ask you, what will happen if he comes as he is? Moses, he said to Moses, you remember, you can't see me fully, you can see my back. The same God who appeared to Moses, he said, you can see my back, you cannot see me. Then Jacob said, I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been preserved. I should die. I have seen face to face pre-incarnate Christ, but I did not die. Christ gave some mercy to him so that he cannot die. That means anybody sees God fully, no one will live unless he gives grace and mercy to live. Isaiah has seen his glory, right? Isaiah chapter 6 verse 1 to 3 says, in the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, the lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filled with the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two covered his feet, two with he flew. And one called out another, said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The same angels worshipping Jesus, they're calling holy, holy, holy. What will happen if he comes like that? That's the reason why he veiled his divine privileges. That is the reason why he veiled his divine glory. Okay, leave about before his birth. What happened after his resurrection? Look at John saw glorious Christ after his resurrection, right? Revelation chapter 1 verse 17. When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. He became a dead man by seeing glorious Christ. After his resurrection, he has body, glorious body. Even though he has glorious body, John was like a dead man. He was dead man. He fell at his feet. He is, God said, right? Jesus said, it is talking about God, that the throne is my heaven. My footstool is earth. He is great God. He is omnipresent God, right? Jesus Christ. If he comes like that, will Mary bear him? No. Mary cannot bear. Even temple cannot contain him. He is great God. Huge God. That's why he has to veil his glory. That is the reason why he has to veil his divine privileges. He became normal man. That's what Paul is saying here. But interesting, see, look at the word himself. I like this phrase. I like this word. Look at the word himself, which refers to highlighting the participation of Christ in the action of emptying. Brothers and sisters, he decided to empty himself. No one forced him to veil all his divine glory. He took initiative. He himself emptied. Even though we know God the Father has sent him in other scriptures, but here truth is, Paul is saying he emptied himself. By himself, he did. Why he has done that? To save you and me. To give joy of salvation. To sing loudly all those Christmas songs. Did you see? What a great love, what a great humble and selfless attitude Jesus has. All this happened at the incarnation of the Son of God. Brothers and sisters, it does not mean he lost all his divine nature. But the incarnation involved a gaining of human attributes, not giving up of divine attributes. He gained human attributes. It's like in ancient times, when Romans would go to battle, the centurion would take up their badges, because the enemies would always try to kill officers so that the men would scatter faster. In order to prevent that, the centurions would take up their badge that was on their shoulder. They would identify with all their men. They would enter the battle and fight with their men. When you describe the officer taking off his badge, taking off his badge identity, you can use the word emptied. When centurion takes off his badge emblem, does he cease being a centurion? No. What he is doing is laying aside the visible manifestation of all that he has for the benefit of what he is going to accomplish. Did you get? Let me tell you another way. If the restaurant owner is there, he came early, he was waiting for servants, they did not come. Then he thought he wore nice shirt and insert he has. Then he thought, "Arey, servant did not come, waiter did not come." So he wore the waiter uniform. He went there, he was cleaning before waiters comes. Then they came. Will they say this person is servant? No, they know he is a owner. He is the boss. But to clean those things, he wore the bond servant clothes, right? He never ceased his ownership, right? The same way, even though Jesus emptied himself, even though Jesus veiled all his glory, does not mean he lost all his divine nature. Even J.A. Packer, he said, he was no less God than in incarnation before, but he had begun to be a man. He was not now God minus some elements of his deity, but God plus all that he had made his own by taking manhood to himself. In other words, brothers and sisters, the incarnation involved not subtraction of deity, but addition of humanity. These are mathematical words. He added humanity, but he did not subtract deity. But he veiled all his deity. But here, we have two means by which he veiled his divine privileges. Paul says, the first means by which he veiled his divine privileges is by becoming a bond servant. By becoming bond servant. Verse 7 says, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bond servant. The taking is indicating here the means by which the action of emptying is accomplished. How did Jesus empty himself? That is by becoming a servant. When he is looking like servant, we cannot see him as a God. That's the thing he is explaining. But he says taking the form of a bond servant, which means put on the form of a slave. He has the nature of servant. He is true servant. It is saying he has nature of servant. The slave is the one who gives himself whole to another's will, especially the master. But in this context, Jesus Christ, he became servant even to his disciples, his people, even for you and me. Think about the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, who has the weightiness, who is glorious, he became servant to you and me. That's why we have the joy of salvation. That's why we are celebrating Christmas, brothers and sisters. Because he took the form of a born servant. You know, John Gospel chapter 13 verse 5. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which was girded. But the fact is, the lowest of menial servants would wash feet. Lowest of the menial servants would wash feet. Jesus was washing their feet. This is selfless service. Jesus has selflessness. Washing their feet shows that Jesus was looking after needs of disciples. He is serving them. That is the example. Even Matthew chapter 20 verse 28 says, even Jesus himself said, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. He himself said, I did not come to be served, I came to serve you, sinners. I came to serve you, my people. I want to save you. Then he says, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus is servant. Jesus is servant. My friend called me, who was a trainee at Hebron. He said to me, Are, I am washing all their clothes. Pastor's clothes, right? Washing clothes and cleaning toilet and doing other things. They are not training him. Then I told, why you are doing those all things? Doing those all things is good. But what they are saying is, serving to me. Serving the man of God is ministry. They are not doing their own job. They are not cleaning their own toilet. They are not washing their clothes. But they are telling others to do. They are contradicting the attitude of Christ. They are contradicting the life of Christ. But I know, Pastor Chris came to my home, our home. I was shocked by how he was served us, all of us, by making food. He made appam, Kerala appam like that. We try to make little bit. Then he came, see, you need to add some sugar. Then he told that after that he is making for us. We sat, he is making, one is ready, please come, he is telling to us. I know he is president of PTS, right? But no, I was shocked how he was serving. I have seen him very differently. He was very strict. He gives so many books to read within 1 week. 15 books, 12 books, within 1 week. We need to die to read those books. But we have done with joy, even though we were suffering. That is different. Even though he is president, when he came to my home, see, he was serving. These are the attitude we need to adapt. I am giving a live example so that you can catch the point. So we need to humble ourselves to serve others. But one thing I want to tell brothers and sisters, Jesus is our greatest model for serving others. Humbly and selflessly. We all are, whoever it is, all are following him. Looking after him. Following him. We should adapt those things. If you are singing Christmas songs, you are enjoying, celebrating, but remember, Christ became born servant, you need to adapt that service good. Provide needs. Need a service for others. Need a service for others. Start with your family. Galatians 5 verse 13 says, through the love serve one another, right? Because our master is serving. Help parents who have children. I'm not speaking selfishly. You help other parents also. Serve pregnant ladies. They are not able to wake up. You go and take water and give to that lady. You do small service. We are not asking, come go to other house and clean their washrooms. I am not saying that no one will expect those service from you. But we are expecting small things. When you come to the church, you need to serve others. You need to serve others. See, for example, many things you can see practically. And serve senior citizens. They are not able to walk sometimes. You need to hold your hand and help. Do you need any help? Can I carry your bag? Especially youth. Especially youth. You are enjoying, right? You bought clothes and watches, mobiles for Christmas. Are you serving? Are you serving? Christ is the model. He is motivating us. I am not commanding. I am not pressing you. Look at Jesus and learn from him. That is the motivation for us. The second means by which he veiled his divine privileges is by becoming a real man. By becoming a real man. Look at verse 7. Being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as man. Being made in Greek, which indicates the means by which action of emptying is accomplished. He emptied himself by being made in likeness of men, by being found in appearance as man. Which means when he became real man, we cannot see him as a God. We cannot see his glorious attributes, right? Did you see? He became born servant. He became man, real man. Two proofs that he is a real man. The first proof that he is a real man is he was born in the likeness of man. Being made in likeness of man, verse 7 says, right? The likeness of man is talking about human birth of Jesus. The word likeness has been made after the likeness of something. Likeness is to equality or identity. Here Jesus was born after the likeness of man. He has the same identity of man. He has same nature of man. We know that the work of Holy Spirit in the incarnation of Christ. Because it says being made in the likeness of man. The idea in Greek is, this is true, this is true. He became real man. We can see he has human birth, right? Like you and me, how you born? He has born. He cried after he born. Then mummy, Mary, Joseph, they are helping to change diapers, everything. He is became small kids. He is crying. He became real man. He has human the family background. Then he has human relationship with God. Did you see that, brothers? He prayed to God many times. He gave thanks to God many times. He honored him. Many times he said, he is greater than me, as I read before. He has human relationship with God. Not only that, he has human experiences. These are all things what I have learned in systematic theology to understand who he is. Just I am bringing those ideas. He has human experiences. He was hungry. He was thirsty. He cried. Cried, right? He wept, right? And weary. Why he has done those things? Why he became? Why he has likeness of man? Hebrews answers that. Author of Hebrews says, chapter 2, verse 17. Therefore, he had to be made like his brethren in all things, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15 says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but the one who has tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Did you see? To understand who our situation, to understand our weakness, he became man. Became man. Don't disrespect Christ because he is man. He burned. He is like man. Don't say like that. To understand you, God became man. That's what Paul is saying here. You should honor more Christ, what he has done by becoming man. The second proof that he is a real man is he appeared as a man. He born as a man, at the same time he appeared as a man. Look at verse 8. It says, being found in appearance as man. It is used like passive tense. When people are looking at him, they saw him, found him as a man. That is the idea. Anybody is looking at him, he looks like man only. He is not showing all his glory. He emptied himself by becoming a real man, by appearing a real man. John Gospel chapter 4 verse 9. We know that, right? Therefore, the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for the drink, since I am a Samaritan woman?" She was immediately aware that she was talking with a Jew. Do you see? He appeared as a man. John Gospel 10 verse 33. Jews answered him, "For a good work we do not stone you, but for the blasphemy. Because you being a man," it is, "you being a man, make yourself out to be God." He appeared as a man. He appeared as a man. That's why I am saying he is a real man. He is not like acting sometimes man, sometimes God. He became perfect man. He did not use his great attributes. And also you can see Mark chapter 6 verse 3. "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us?" Did you see how people are approaching him? Whenever people are looking at him, they are seeing as a man. He appeared. He appeared as a man. He is a real man. But there is a heresy. People say that he did not become fully man. Like somehow he is man, somehow he is God. There are so many heresies, but the text is saying to us very clearly that he appeared as a man. He is a real man. He did not use his great attribute all the time. He did not show his glory to them all the time, except once at the mountain where he was transfigured. Once he showed. Remaining times he appeared as man, complete man. To live among human beings, their limitations, he veiled his glory. He has done some miracles by using divine attributes for others. But Christ never used his attributes to make his own life as human being easier. Did you see? He suffered all the inconveniences of all his days. He traveled by the foot during his 3 years ministry, right? He walked. He did not use his supernatural power and jump. He did not travel like that. He walked. He walked. He appeared as real man. Brothers and sisters, this is the great truth, right? He did not regard his divine position. He veiled all his divine privileges. If you know the truth, brothers and sisters, Paul is commanding us that you should make yourself nothing. We should think anything. We should not think anything from selfishness, conceit. We should not boast ourselves about our empty glorious, right? If he emptied his glorious things, we should not boast about our greatness, our positions, who we are in the church with others. Man of God said, Daniel Wallace said, about this passage, he said that we all should not elevate ourselves an empty glory, but follow the example of Christ, who, although already elevated on God's level, emptied his glory by veiling it in humanity. Don't elevate yourself. That's what he is saying. I like his quote. Don't elevate yourself. Because one who was already elevated, he veiled all his glory. We all are struggling with us, right? But we should be very careful. We should not elevate ourselves. We need to confess of our sins whenever we are elevating ourselves. We got great example we have here, right? The third attitude of the incarnate Christ that proves he is selfless and humble is he humbled himself by being obedient. By being obedient. Look at verse 8. It says he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of the death, even death on a cross. What does it mean, humble? The word humble is to assign a lower rank, to be ranked below others who are honored, to submit oneself in lowly spirit to the power and will of God. Yet Jesus assigned a lower rank than God, submitted himself in a lowly spirit to the power and will of God. He submitted, he humbled himself as a man, as a man. He knows that he is a lower than God who is honored and praised as incarnate Christ. Look at again himself. He humbled himself. Christ acted on himself. He did not make anyone humble, but he made himself humble by becoming obedient. Actually, he did not need to obey God, but he did for you and me. Because he is equal with God, right? Why should he obey God the Father? Because he is obeyed as a man to save you and me. Two aspects of his humble obedience. The first aspect of his humble obedience is he obeyed to the point of death. You see, point of death? He is obedient in his whole life. The point of death refers to the marker of decree, measure. Did you see measure? This is talking about the decree, measure of his obedience. He obeyed God for you and me to point of death. That is the measure of his obedience. That's what Paul is saying. It is not like simple obedience. He is willing to die for you and me. That much measure is there, decree is there in his obedience. Which indicates, anyway, he obeyed God in his lifetime, until his death. Romans chapter 5 verse 19. For as though the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. Even so, through the obedience of one, the many will be made righteous. This is lifetime obedience. When he burned, from his birth time, until he died, he obeyed God the Father. He obeyed. He submitted his parents as a child. We know that. He submitted. He did not say, hey, I am God, I became man, I should not submit to you, you poor people. He did not say that. He obeyed. He submitted to his parents. He obeyed all the laws of God. He paid the income tax to Caesar. No? He encouraged, you need to pay. He obeyed everything. Complete man. He obeyed everything. He did not stop obeying when he had to die. He obeyed. We know Luke chapter 2 verse 41 to 44. It says he knelt down, began to pray. Verse 42. Saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. Now an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. Did you see? He needs some strength because he is going to bear the punishment of all sinners whom he has chosen. Verse 44 says, being in agony, he was praying very frequently and his sweat became like drops of the blood falling down upon the ground. Dr. Luke wrote, so he used the medical term, blood came out of his body. So what I am saying, did you see measure of his obedience, decree of his obedience? He knew that he had to bear all the punishment of sinners. God makes him sin who knew no sin. Did you see? He is going to bear that. He humbled himself by becoming obedient, even to the death. The second aspect of his obedience, please look at verse 8. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. Then he added, even death on a cross. Death on a cross. In English, death on a cross refers to a place of death. But the idea in Greek is production, not place, not means. This was the death which produced by a cross. The death brought about a cross. That is Paul is saying here. Christ humbled himself by becoming obedient even to the death which produced by a cross. What kind of death that a cross produces? I'm thinking, the death, the cross is producing death. What kind of death the cross produces normally, generally? It produces a painful death. There was a reason why they choose a crucifixion. The person did not die immediately, but he had to suffer a long time. they prepare those cross like that. There are many symbols. But they don't want to let that criminal die immediately. He has to die slowly, experience deep pain and die later. They don't want to kill a person immediately, but they want to kill a person slowly by bearing all the suffering. So it produces painful death, but he obeyed that. He obeyed that. It produces same shameful death. It not only produces the painful death, it produces shameful death. The crucifixion was used only for worst criminals. Worst criminals. There are many ways to punish people. The worst criminal, they use crucifixion because they want to shame them at their death. They lift their body height so that everyone see that criminal. Result of that, humiliate that person. See what kind of person he is. He was hanged. He was being crucified. He is the worst of criminal in that society. But Christ knows that. He knows everyone look at him as a criminal. But he obeyed. Even to the death on a cross. That is the reason why Paul is using. He is adding additional term. He is willing to be ashamed by people because of you and me. That is Christmas, right? We celebrate. Why we are celebrating? Because Son of God, who became shameful person on the cross, he obeyed to go through that. Ultimately, spiritually, what happened? That is, beside this physical shame and pain, he bore all the sins of mankind. God poured out his wrath on him. He is suffering physical death. He is suffering shame. At the same time, he is suffering your sin, your punishment, my punishment on the cross. Romans 5:10. For if you, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Saved by his life. He humbled himself even to the death which produced by cross. If you understand who Christ is, I am asking you, the teenagers, brothers and sisters, are you believing in this Jesus who died for your sake on the cross? Only one person, you should believe in him. Because he died on the cross to take away your sins, to give eternal life. He only saves you from your sins. Turn to him. Run to him. But you are taking, right, all your gifts from your parents because of Christmas. But understand why you are getting gifts and things from your parents. Because Christ died on the cross. Saved them. They are enjoying their fellowship. They are enjoying the joy of salvation. You need to enjoy. You need to enjoy. Trust in him. No one like him. Brothers and sisters, the second thing, those who are saved, we need to understand your obedience is evidence of your humility. Your obedience is evidence of humility. If you are not obeying him, then you are a prideful man. Humble people obey God, his word. At the same time, practically I am speaking, are you obeying God? Are you obeying word of God in your daily life? If you are obeying, no need to tell to anybody else. You are a humble man. Because now it says he humbled himself by being obedient. By being obedient. The mark of humble person is obedience. Are you obeying word of God? Are you obeying the eldership team in the church? If you speak in our level practically, the selfless life is the proof of your humble heart. The obedience heart is the proof of your humble heart. Because Christ has humility. Imitate the selfless, humble Christ. He did not regard his divine position. He veiled his divine privileges. He humbled himself by being obedient. Be humble, selfless man and woman. Before your family members first. Before church members. If you don't know that how to be humble, how to be a selfless person, learn from Jesus, the greatest, the model of selflessness and humility. Change your way of speaking with people. change the way of serving to the church by looking at great model, humble, selfless. D.L. Moody was the most famous evangelist. One year, large group of pastors came from Europe, were among them. They were given rooms in dormitory of the Bible school. As the custom in Europe, men put their shoes outside of the door, expecting them to be cleaned and polished by servants during the night. As usual, they left their shoes outside. Then what happened? Moody was walking through the halls, saw the shoes, came to know that what happened. These Europeans, they are expecting to clean their shoes, polish their shoes. Then what happened? The Moody, he mentioned the problem to few of his students after that. They did not do that. Then Moody gathered up all the shoes, took them back to his own room and cleaned and polished. A friend helped him to finish the task. He told the story. D.L. Moody, great preacher, he was cleaning and polishing the shoes of those who attended his seminar. Did you see what kind of humility and selfless he has? Whoever it is, they are imitating the greatest model of selfless, humble Christ. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, King of Heaven, worthy of honor and praise, the worship, he laid all his privileges aside, became a lowly servant, humble and selfless. Godly men are following him. You godly men, you cornerstone people, we should imitate him. Amen. God may help us to imitate Christ, the greatest model of humility and selflessness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for putting great model of humility and selfless attitude. Thank you, Lord, for giving your Son Jesus to save us. Lord Jesus, help us, Lord, to imitate you, to have attitude of yours, Lord. Lord, make us, each and every one of us, humble. Lord, we are nothing, Lord. Lord, you are everything. You are great God. You humble yourself. Lord, give us that heart. Lord, you know we are weak. Lord, we are selfish. We are prideful, Lord. Lord, while we are thinking about your birth, Lord, help us to imitate you. Imitate your attitude, Lord. Bless this church for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.